I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiy Allah.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back to another episode. We have brother Gohar with me. MashaAllah, Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How are you, Gohar bhai?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Uncle Tawfiq?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. MashaAllah, thank you for coming again, joining us. We have our young Hassan Raza again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Hassan Raza?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, Hassan Raza and brother Gohar, we are all ready here for the program. Today we have very beautiful story that we are going to talk about. Without further delay, let's move on to our main segment, story time.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Story time, and today's topic is resurrection of the birds. Subhanallah. Today we have a very beautiful topic. One of my favorite topics, if you want to call it, because in this story, we will be learning about the signs of Allah. Subhanallah. We see people, they look for faith. They search for faith. They want to know which is the true religion. And they travel to different places. They study different religions. And they study the teachings of Islam. And one of the things that they look for are signs of existence of God. And one of the signs of the existence of God is, that's what we're going to find out today. Today's topic is resurrection of the birds. So that means, just to make it easy, resurrection means like there's dead birds bringing them back to life. And if I was to connect this with a bigger picture, so that our young viewers, the kids, teenagers who are watching this program, as Muslims, we have one belief. And that is that we believe in the life after death. When the day of Qiyamah, the day of judgment will take place, then all those people from Prophet Adam alayhi salam all the way up to now, until the day of Qiyamah, all the humans that who will live onto this earth and they will pass away, every single person, regardless of how many millions or maybe how many years they've been in the graves, and their bodies have probably been disintegrated, they've been mixed with the sand, with the soil, and their physical position might not still be there. However, every single individual will be brought back to life. Allahu Akbar.
Ba'd al-maut.
Subhan. This is one of the key beliefs of Islam, that we believe in the life after death. And you know what? If someone had this opportunity to actually witness this, that he's seeing that someone has passed away, and then through the power of Allah, that individual has come back to life. If someone was to witness that, then this will strengthen our iman on the belief that we will be brought back to life again. And this is something that you could say is the base for the story today, because once this type of thought, this type of wish came in the mind of the great and mighty Prophet of Allah, Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanallah. And Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam had this thought in his mind. He wished that, Ya Allah, I want to witness your sign. I want to witness that how you will bring people back to life. God, by take it away.
So this great Prophet of Allah, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, like you mentioned, had this in his heart and it was his desire that he wanted to see this miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing the dead back to life. So he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Oh Allah, show me how will you resurrect the dead?
Subhanallah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to Ibrahim alayhi salam that, Ibrahim, don't you have faith in this? That do you not believe that I can have the ability to bring the dead back to life?
Subhanallah.
And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, No, I do believe in this. But I just want to see this miracle so that it strengthens my faith.
Subhanallah.
So it increases me in faith.
God, from here we learn that when someone asks a question from a scholar, especially when someone is making dua in the court of Allah, not every time he is questioning their belief.
Yes.
It's to strengthen the iman as well. And indeed, you know, whoever gets chance to witness this, it's a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's something beyond our comprehension. Yeah, beyond our imagination. And if we were to see someone coming back to life, we could talk to that person and then he goes back to have a rest again. You know, that would be something amazing for us to witness. But that's something that, you know, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam asked in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, show me one of the signs. Subhanallah.
So he wasn't questioning Allah's ability. He just wanted to increase his iman and faith.
Subhanallah.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he instructs him. He says to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam that raise 4 birds and nourish them well by feeding them, and then slaughter these animals and make mince meat, like keema, mince these birds up, and then place a little bit of portion of each of this mince atop of mountains, and then after that call towards these birds.
So just hold on. I just want to understand the story a bit more because we got kids watching this program as well. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was instructed by Allah
Ji.
To raise 4 birds.
Ji.
And each of the birds, they weren't same category, they were
different birds. Yes. Yeah.
And these 4 birds, they were raised and looked after by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. I'm just thinking, how lucky would those birds be?
Yeah.
That a Prophet of Allah is looking after them, feeding them. Subhanallah. You know, when we say the qismat of someone,
yes.
Yeah, you know, them birds would definitely be blessed. Subhanallah. So these birds were raised by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam.
4 different birds.
And afterwards, when the next instruction came, that slaughter them. So they were physically slaughtered.
Yes.
So they died.
Yes.
Yeah, they were, you know, slaughtered. And then they were cut into pieces.
Yes.
And not just into pieces, minced but minced meat as well.
Yes. Okay. So the way we have keema at home.
I'm just trying to think. So these days we have the minced meat machines.
Yes.
Yeah. The keema machines. Yeah. When you go to your slaughterhouse or butchers. Yeah. But that would be, you know, and we're talking about thousands and thousands of years ago. Yeah, whatever the formula would be at that time. But these birds, you could say they were slaughtered, cut into pieces, and then they were
mixed
with, first they were like cut in small pieces like minced meat, and they were mixed up as well. So these 4 different birds, just imagine there's 4 birds here, and then they be
there's 4 different categories as well.
Yeah, different types of birds.
Yes.
They're not same category. They're not like, for example, they're not all,
pigeons.
For example, pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not all pigeon. They have 4 different birds. And then the meat was mixed with them. The minced meat was mixed, okay? Mixed up, whichever way. And then what happens?
And then the next instruction came, after doing this, then place a portion of like a small meat, amount of minced meat on top of a mountain. So different mountains, put these different portions on top of each mountain.
Subhanallah. And no, I'm just trying to imagine that obviously the meat wouldn't be like huge.
No.
If there were birds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this meat was, you know, you could say proportionally, you know, divided into 4 parts.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned from the narration we hear as well, in the Quranic wonders, it says that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was told to go to put them in different mountains.
Yes.
So that means they weren't placed closely.
No.
So just imagine, you know, walking up. How long does it take to climb on top of a mountain, for example?
This, from here, we can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test, like not test, but just wanted to increase Ibrahim alayhi's faith more as well.
Yeah, because
that point through the struggle,
yeah,
that means it, then, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done it straight away.
Yes.
But he wanted Ibrahim alayhi's to show his effort towards this as well.
Subhanallah.
That go and do this and go up the mountains.
So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi's would have gone to one particular mountain,
yeah,
if it's top of the mountain or if it's a hill or whatever it was, must have climbed to that place, put some portion of the meat there,
yeah,
and then came back down, went to the next mountain,
yeah,
and placed the meat there. And sometimes it doesn't have to be on the same day, whatever time that it took Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam, but Ibrahim al-Islam put these four portions of meat on different mountains.
Yeah.
That itself is not a small task. Yeah. And just imagine all this meat was separated so far away. So these four meat, so I'm just trying to understand again. So these four portions of meat, they were mixed first and they were put into different mountains.
Yes.
Okay, what happens next?
And then the next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after you've done this task, so you're doing about 2-3 tasks, and after this, then call out towards these birds. Call them, call them out. And once you call them out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these birds will come back alive and they will rush and come towards you.
Subhanallah.
So
Allah,
these birds, Allah, this is the miracle. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is, you'll see my miracle of bringing the dead back to life. So once you call them out, they'll come and rush towards you.
Subhanallah. So is that what actually happened then?
Yes. So the four birds which Ibrahim alayhi salam nourished and brought them up was a rooster, a pigeon, a vulture and a peacock.
Wow.
And inshallah, further in the story, we'll find a reason why it was specifically these four birds as well.
Wow.
There's a reason for these four birds that were chosen. So the first one was a rooster, a pigeon, a vulture and a peacock.
Wow, so these four birds, dear children who are watching this program, these four birds, they were cut into pieces and then mixed up their meat and they were placed on four different mountains. Allahu Akbar. And then Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam called these birds to himself, and these birds, because the meat was mixed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, for example, a rooster and a pigeon. So, some part of the pigeon is on this side, some part of it is on the other side of the mountain. And whatever it was, somehow the meat must have got together. Then the skin would have probably joined up.
And also, you just forgot to mention is that
reconnected.
Is that when Ibrahim al-Islam mixed the meat up, he didn't mince the heads. The heads were still with Ibrahim alayhi salam.
Allah.
So once these animals came back alive with their bones, they came headless to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then they connected back with their own heads, and then they were presented in Ibrahim alayhi salam.
This is just amazing. It's extraordinary here. Allahu Akbar. This is the miracle of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. My dear brothers, this is a real sign of Allah Ta'ala that these birds, one, these were cut into pieces, into minced meat, and they were mixed up, placed on top of four different mountains, and then the heads were with Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam. So these birds, when Prophet Ibrahim al-Islam called these birds to himself, then the meat somehow got together, formed that same body again, with the skin, with the feathers, without the head. Without the head, just imagine from like long mountain, really far, a bird flying to you without the head. And there's four of them, they're all coming towards Ibrahim al-Islam and they're joined with the head. And no, it wasn't like a super glue or something.
No.
Yeah, there was nothing there, there's no doctor there, no stitching him up, stitching the birds up. They were birds, this was a real incident,
yes,
that happened. All these birds got together and they formed, they went back to normal. And the birds must have, you know, flown again, skied on with their normal life, if you want to call it. This is one of the signs of Allah Ta'ala. From here we learn, Allah Ta'ala is our Rabb who is the most powerful. If he can bring these birds back to life, then definitely he can bring us back to life as well. That's why as Muslims we believe that once we die, we will be placed in the grave, in the barzakh, the world of barzakh, in the grave. And then when that time comes on the day of Qiyamah, we'll be raised again, regardless of where people are. if their body is mixed with the soil, if their bones have been separated, or sometimes what happens when people pass away at different, like their body parts, sometimes people have accident.
Yeah.
So sometimes they lost an arm, for example, and that's been buried in one country. And then after 5 years, that person passed away in a different country. And so the body parts are in a separate place. In fact, in the same grave, in the same graveyard, there's so many bones.
Yeah.
And when they will be formed again, they won't be mixed up with anyone else. Their own body, bones, everything
flesh,
will remain with that individual.
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, it might look so complicated. It's not. Do you know why? Because there is nothing hard for Allah. Everything is easy. Allah Almighty is the most powerful. Nothing is hard. Nothing is difficult. It won't be like it's going to take so long to do this.
Yeah.
No. Remember one thing. When I look at this type of accounts and stories, when I hear these, one thing that comes to mind is that, okay, we've witnessed this account. However, if you look at how we were created as human being, all of you are watching this program, there was a time that you didn't exist. Yeah. So whatever your age is, before that, your birth, you didn't exist here. From nothing, Allah Azza wa Jal created you. And when you were born, you were tiny. You were a tiny baby. From that age, Allah Ta'ala blessed you with life and you've grown. And now you're either a teenager or an adult or you're a granddad or a grandmother or an auntie now. You've grown. You become an adult now. So before your life, before you were born, you weren't there.
And this is another miracle of Allah.
So from nothing, yeah. Allah Azza wa Jal created us. Yeah? If Allah Ta'ala can do that, bringing someone back to life, that's easy, because there's already like a template already there, if you want to call it. Yeah, there's a template there, the person existed before, and then we're just connecting it back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So from here we learn that as Muslims, we are so fortunate that we have the true belief. And if there's anyone who's watching this program and you're looking for faith, you're looking at Islam from outside, I'm going to invite you. Why are you looking at Islam from outside? Come and join. See Islam, see the beauty of Islam from inside. Become a Muslim. Accept the belief of the Islamic faith and become a true believer, because Islam is the truthful religion. And these are the signs in the Quran, thousands of years after, we are talking about those incidents that took place in the history. And these are the signs that Islam is a truthful religion. And Quran mentions these incidents to strengthen our iman, to strengthen our faith. So I welcome, if there's anyone who wants to become a Muslim and you are considering Islam, then don't delay. Not even a moment, not even a second. Come to Islam. And one of the ways to become a Muslim is that you can, first you will have to renounce or reject your previous faith. So whatever faith that you have, even if it's a non-faith, you didn't believe in any religion, so reject all the disbeliefs that you had. And then you say these words, you say these words with your tongue and confirm them from your heart as well, and say there is none worthy of worship except Allah. Allah is the Arabic word for God. There's none worthy of worship except for Allah. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is his last and final messenger of Allah. If you have said these words, you are now a Muslim. Welcome to Islam.
This waqia which we are just reading now as well, this is in Surah Baqarah, Spara number 3, verse 260. So Allah subhanahu describes this full incident in this part of the Quran. So this story, verse 260 of Surah Baqarah, you can download this Miftahul Ihsan from the Dawood Islam website, and you can read the commentary of the story as well.
Subhanallah. So because this surah, it's in the third part of the Quran.
Yes.
Yeah, third part, so near the end part of Surah Baqarah.
Yeah.
And verse number 260, and this is also obviously the commentary that you just mentioned, the new commentary that has been published,
yes,
that has this particular verse of the Quran,
yes,
with a commentary as well. So if you want to read this in more detail, you've got that, something to hold on to. And also, I will also recommend you those youngsters and elders who like to read the stories of the Quran. It's a beautiful book in the name of Quranic Wonders. It's available on the website of Dawat Islami, and it's also available from Maktabatul Madina. If you're in the UK or whichever country you are from, contact them. You can buy this book physically, have it in your house, and read a story. Every day, share, you know, with your own family, sit together. Whatever time you're easy, you can get together as a family and read one story from the Quran. Let's listen to a kalam. We have Hassan Raza here. Hassan Raza, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
What are you going to read today?
Anku Katara.
Subhanallah, Anku Katara, one of the beautiful kalam. A lot of kids love this. If you're watching at home, please try to join in with Hassan Raza.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah,
wa sallam alayka
ya Habiballah. آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد پوچھے گا مولا لایا ہے کیا کیا پوچھے گا مولا لایا ہے کیا کیا میں یہ کہوں گا میں یہ کہوں گا نام محمد میں یہ کہوں گا نام محمد نوح خلیل نوح خلیل موسیٰ عیسیٰ سب کا ہے آقا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی دولت جو چاہو دونوں جہاں کی کر لو وظیفہ کر لو وظیفہ نام محمد کر لو وظیفہ نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں اپنے رضا کے قربان جاؤں جس نے سکھایا نام محمد جس نے سکھایا نام محمد اپنے جمیل رضوی کے دل میں اپنے جمیل رضوی کے دل میں آجا سما جا آجا سما جا نام محمد آجا سما جا نام محمد آنکھوں کا تارا نام محمد دل کا اجالا نام محمد
على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. Subhanallah, that was a beautiful kalam. Subhanallah, thank you Hassan Raza. Back to our topic again. We were learning about the resurrection of the birds. So bringing back, coming back to life again after death. And this today, alhamdulillah, we had a chance to hear a very beautiful, it's a real account that took place during the lifetime of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Before we move on to our next segment, Brother Gohar, is there any moral lessons or any conclusion that you want to give?
Just a few lessons we can take from here is that from here, the way Ibrahim alayhi salam, he called out towards these people who, these birds, not people, these birds who were dead. From here, we believe, we understand one of our beliefs that it is permissible for us to call out towards, like for example, when we go to the shrines of the pious predecessors, it's permissible for us to call out towards them for help. Because from this is proven that Ibrahim alayhi salam, being a prophet, he called out towards these dead birds.
So for example, when we hear Muslims say, Ya Rasulallah, they're calling out, O Messenger of Allah. So from this incident, we also learn that this is permissible, it's fine.
Also with the messenger.
If it wasn't fine, then Allah Azza wa Jal will not mention that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam called, or would not instruct Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam to call out the birds.
Yes.
If it was wrong. Yeah, so it's perfectly fine.
And with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, the final Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, is our belief is that he is still alive.
Subhanallah.
So he's not, don't want to use the word, but he's not passed away, he's not dead, he's still alive in his grave.
Allahu Akbar.
All the prophets of Allah.
All the prophets of Allah are physically alive in the grave, and they are given sustenance in their own way or form. They worship Allah Ta'ala and they live their own life, whichever way it is. But they are physically alive, and the soil has not been given the permission to eat the body of the prophets. And the body, the blessed body of Prophets alayhi salam, is still intact. Subhanallah. That's a beautiful message that we have learned from this incident. Anything else that you want to say as your final words?
The last is that the reason why they were these four birds specifically is because, as you see, a peacock is very beautiful. So this peacock is very proud of his facial beauty.
Allah.
Another, for example, the rooster, he has possesses a lot of desires. Like this, the rooster, the vulture is greedy in nature, and the pigeon is proud of his ability to fly high. So from here we learn this, having this takabbur, having this prideness in us, we need to kill this off as well.
Allah.
So we should not be too proud that we are beautiful. We should always show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings He has bestowed us.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, beautiful messages from the story. I think it's time for the next segment.
Yes.
So without any delay, let's start our next segment, which is called Islamic Manners.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14.
Islamic Manners, and today's topic is harms of lying. Is that harms of lying, like lying on the bed? No, okay, what is it?
Lying as false speech.
Okay, so opposite of being honest.
Yes.
It's not being truthful. If you're not being truthful, then you are lying. And today we are going to talk about harms of lying. So, can you mention a few points then?
First I'll mention regarding what the Quran has, the beautiful book has regarding lying. There's two verses. First verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, avoid false speech, avoid lying. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only those who do not believe in Allah's signs attribute lies and fabrications, and they themselves are liars.
Allah.
So those who do not believe in the signs of Allah, they are the liars. And lying is such a habit. So
in that case, them people who have seen the signs of Allah, they know this is the truth, and they are ignoring the fact.
Yes.
And they're not committing, you know, and submitting to Islam. In a way, they're lying to themselves as
yes.
well. So they're acting blind. So by acting blind or not believing, or not committing to the truth, that's a form of lying.
Yes. Okay. So lying is a habit or a thing which is something which is haram. It is, if someone lies, he's committing a sin, and it's something which will take a person to the fire of hell as well.
Allahu Akbar. Come on, kids. Are you hearing this? That we just learned that lying is one of the really bad habits that people have. And it's called, in Islamic terms, it's haram to lie. So although we're learning about harms, aren't we? Harms of lying, and one of the harms is that someone will be committing haram act. It's not allowed, it's a full stop. You can't do it. You need to avoid lying. You know, in general terms, are we talking about lying, especially if you're cheating someone. Yeah, when you're cheating, you need to avoid lying, because when you lie, you're hiding something, aren't you? And you're hiding something because you don't want other people to become aware. So you're cheating someone, you're cheating the system, you're cheating your family, you're cheating your mom and dad. And this is not the Muslim way. Remember this, as Muslims, we need to raise a standard in our character. Now set this barrier, a standard in your life that I'm not gonna lie. Whatever happens, okay? You know, what happens if you lie, if you were to tell the truth? Generally, you do something wrong.
Yeah.
You, for example, you broke someone's window. Yeah. You were playing with your friends. You were playing football, and you broke someone's window, and then you secretly went home, and then someone knocked on your door and said it was your son who broke the window, and you're saying no, it wasn't me. Yeah. What if that person told the truth? What will happen?
The most that will happen is that your parents will shout at you, and you'll be in trouble. You won't be allowed to go out again.
So if they were to tell the truth, they'll get slightly, for a moment, they'll get into trouble and they'll be told off.
Yes.
Yeah. And obviously, in the case of they broke someone's window, the family probably will have to pay for the expense for to make up for whatever loss they've had. That's one loss, one example of loss, if you were to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And what if someone lied in that scenario and he said, no, it wasn't me? So what's the harm in that? One is doing haram. Yeah. So Islamically, when you do something haram, that means that Allah Almighty is not happy with that person.
Then. Yeah.
You're making Allah angry. You're doing something that Allah Almighty has told you to not do, and you're doing it. So that's extremely bad. Yeah, that's one harm. What other harms are there in that scenario? If someone was to lie.
In that scenario is... For a moment, it won't be a harm. You'll get away with whatever you did. But over time, that lie might come back to you. That eventually, they might find out later
on. One day, you get caught.
Yeah, you'll get caught one day.
One day, you could get... And you know what? To you know, when you lie, you made the first decision, I'm going to lie. Yeah. Now, to cover up that lie,
you have
to tell 100 lies.
It's like when we were kids, we heard the story, the boy who cries wolf.
Yeah.
A lot of youngsters have probably even read the story. That once he told a lie... People, they came out, they didn't listen to it, or they went back. And then eventually when a wolf actually came, and then no one came out of the house to help him because they thought he was lying. So that's one of the harms of lying as well. Eventually people will stop believing whatever you're saying.
So next time if you got all them, you know, snacks and chocolates and crisps in your bag and you hid them somewhere and your other brothers or sisters are asking you, where's all them chocolate gone? Then make sure you are honest. Be an honest person. And you know what? Maybe the parents who are with you, they will tell you that if a person is honest, even though he's probably done the most stupid thing, he's done something really bad, and he's made the whole family angry because of doing that certain thing, and he's put the whole family to a shame. But at the end, that person was honest and he told the truth, your parents, your elders will be proud of you.
And one advantage of speaking the truth is that whoever becomes habitual of speaking the truth, Allah will eventually make that person pious.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. So if you want to bring a change and you want to become a nice and beautiful person, one of the ways to beautify your character is by being honest and telling the truth. So is there any kids who are watching this program who commit to this, who are ready for this challenge and will say that I will never lie again? I will not lie. Come on, is there anyone who's going to say this? I'm not going to lie. And plus, if you have lied in certain scenarios and you got other people into trouble, you need to go and apologize them as well. You need to say sorry to them. So go to your parents and tell them, look, I'm sorry, I did wrong.
And from here, a lesson for the parents who are watching as well, that the reason why our children tend to lie is because if they do something, we tend to shout at them straight away. They're scared to tell us the truth. So we should, from a little age, when the child's little, we should make this habit that you tell me the truth, I won't shout at you. you won't be in trouble. Just speak, tell the truth to me. Then inshallah, they'll get the habit of speaking the
I'm
truth.
I'm just thinking, you know, some parents will probably do this trick, yeah? So they'll probably say to them, look, you won't be in trouble, just tell the truth. When the son tells the truth, not saying, now, gone crazy at him. Yeah. Yeah, and that's not how it should be. You know, you already lied yourself.
Yeah.
You made a promise to him. Look, if you're honest with me, what do you think of son Razai? If the father said, look, son, if you tell me the truth, then you won't get into trouble. And now the son, okay, he's told the truth. Yeah, now his father like shouting at him, screaming at him, and made him get into more trouble. And by doing this, the father is actually going against his own promise. So in a way, he's already lied himself. So indirectly, he's teaching the son to lie. Yeah, there's another example of how parents teach their children to lie. Parents who are watching this program, I'm sorry, I'll have to expose you here. No, just take it easy. Just to make you aware, sometimes knowingly or unknowingly, we make these mistakes. I'll give you an example. Your son or daughter doesn't want to go to school in the morning. And you ring up school. Hello, my son's not well today, so he won't be able to come. Or he's vomiting a lot. Yeah? Or he's got a lot of pain in the stomach. Or he's got a headache. Or he's not feeling well last couple of days. And they make up these things. And the reason they took a day off, maybe because the father and maybe one of the other family member, they had a day off and they want to go out for a trip. They want to go out, family trip somewhere. They want to go out 3-4 hours, you know, full day out somewhere. And they want to take these kids with them as well. And they are lying.
I think
this is not Islam. What are you teaching your own children? Be honest. Doesn't matter if you can't go to that family trip. Yeah, being honest is more important. Let's get our priorities right.
Uncle Tawfiq, this scenario which you just mentioned, sadly, I don't think it happens in schools, it happens in madrasas mainly.
That
we send them to schools, but for little things, we'll make excuses for our kids to not send them to madrasa. So this
is it because if they don't send the children to school,
they'll get fined.
They'll get fined.
They'll
or
be in trouble.
Head teachers will come and call them.
The government can come and to your house and clean doors.
That's not right as well. You know, as Muslims, we need to get our priorities right. Madrasa is a great blessing that we have in our societies. You ask those people who live in far and wide areas where they don't have a masjid close by. I know some places, Brother Gohar, where when we go for Dawat Islam, we work in those areas, and they don't have a madrasa set up.
Yeah.
They don't have this, you know, every day, Monday to Friday, 2 hours class in the evening or 1 hour class in the evening. They don't have that concept. Just imagine Muslims been living in that city for at least, say, 20, 30 years, and these children have grown, you know, born in that area, grown up and become adults. They've got children as well now. But without a madrasa system, without going to, you know, local class to learn Quran Pak and learn Islamic knowledge, they don't have that concept. And them people, you know, when you go to them and you were to offer them this opportunity of madrasa, you will realize how much it means to them. Parents out there, children out there, for them it's a huge thing, it's a great blessing for us that we are so fortunate we have Madrasatul Madina in our local communities. We have Quran classes, we have teachers who are available, who are giving time. And this is something that we should be proud of, we should be happy, and we need to make sure we give this priority. Make sure, you know, the way, I shouldn't be saying this, but the way, you know, you send your children to school, you should be sending your children to madrasa as well. In fact, this is more important, you know, from the Islamic knowledge point of view. Yeah, so please make sure, you know, you don't look for excuses. If you have to cancel anything else, cancel them. Don't cancel madrasa. Can we move on to our next and final segment of the day, Sunnah Lifestyle?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
14.
Sunnah Lifestyle, and today's topic is Imama. Okay, Imama. What is Imama?
In English, you can call it turban. And what we've all got on our heads at the moment.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah.
This is the crown of the Arabs.
Subhanallah. But
this is what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam used to wear on his head.
Subhanallah.
This is the sunnah of the Prophet. And the Prophet, the blessing of wearing a imama, one blessing is that if a person recites namaz, 2 rakat salah, with an imamah, it is 70 times better than reading without an imamah sharif on your head. So this is one of the blessings of having a turban on your head. One of the etiquettes or manners of tying an imamah sharif is when tying it, face the Qibla. Face the Qibla whilst tying your imamah sharif. Inshallah, you get the blessings of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And another blessing is that when you untie the imamah sharif, don't just lift it from your head, just just unfold your imamah sharif like that.
Subhanallah, that's a beautiful sunnah.
And there's very different colors which are sunnah. White is a sunnah, a green is a sunnah, another color black is a sunnah as well. So these were like one of the three main colors the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sunnah used to
wear. Subhanallah, anyone who makes intention to put imamah on his head, please make this intention into practice as well. I hope everyone enjoyed this program today. Take care, look after yourself.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. 14. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.